We're reading from Shamati, Article 89, page 220, to understand the words of the Holy Zohar. So, Book of Shamati, page 220, Article 89. You can ask questions through Kav.tv. Relevant questions shall be heard during the lesson. Shamati, Article 89, page 220, to understand the words of the Holy Zohar. To understand the words of the Holy Zohar, we should first understand what the Holy Zohar wants to say. And understanding what the Holy Zohar wants to say depends on one's dedication to the Torah and mitzvot. The Torah and mitzvot can bring clearness to a person, to be cleaned of self-love. And this is why he engages in Torah and mitzvot. And to that extent, we can understand the truth that the Holy Zohar wants to say. Otherwise, there are klipot that hide and block the truth in the words of the Holy Zohar. What the Zohar explains, he tells us what is happening in the spiritual world, meaning actions of bestowal of the creature. And therefore, we cannot understand it, because we can't carry out these actions yet. So, what do we do then? We are in a will to receive. We know how the will to receive can receive fulfillment, pleasure, actions towards the fulfillment, how to crave for the fulfillment. And the actions that the Zohar is telling us about seem to us as if they're written in a language which is not clear to us, in certain codes, that it is talking about something unrealistic, either in the language of Kabbalah, Sfirot, Patsufim, Olamot, or in the language of the Midrash, sun, moon, mountains, hills, humans, animals, or in the language of actions in between people, perhaps, but those that we can't see in our world, because in our world there is no such reality. All that is something that we don't understand, we don't feel, because we are not in the same degree of which the Zohar speaks. No, we're not in the nature of bestowal, we are in the nature of reception. If a person would have received the nature of bestowal by some device, and he would have opened up the Zohar, although he never read it before, he would have seen immediately what this book is all about. He wouldn't have needed any explanations. It would have been clear to him out of simple reading. He would have read it as if it's talking about him, although he never saw the book before. Because they're telling about a reality which does not exist in us, and therefore we don't understand what it's all about. Therefore, our whole study are reading, are engaging with the Zohar, is something that is called Sgula, virtue. We read, we try in different angles, directions to penetrate what the Zohar is talking about and what it's trying to say. How do I have to, in different ways perhaps, to relate to the text? And then to awaken upon me from the book a special force called the light that reforms. And that force which will influence me, it will open up for me my heart, my mind, new qualities in me, qualities of bestowal. And this is what the Zohar speaks of. It was completely written by the nature of bestowal and not of reception. And only according to the nature of bestowal, Leshpia, can we understand what is written in the Zohar. Therefore,
two things are needed here. First, to realize that we don't understand. And this is true. This is correct. It represents our contrast to the book, to the subject itself. The Zohar shows us that our nature is opposite to what the authors of the Zohar, who wrote it, are. And that we have to relate to this book as a remedy, as a source of correction. And that's the only thing we can demand. Not understanding. Not to understand what it talks about. Even when I think I understand what Patsufim it speaks about, or what Sfirot, Moses, or Abraham, or Egypt, or all kinds of things the Zohar mentions. Even if I identify relatable words, the familiar words, it's incorrect, because what he meant behind these words is completely not what I think. There are two forms of nature. Nature of reception and nature of bestowal. And the words that are used are the same. Same symbols and letters. But what's behind the words, what each and every word points to, in a world that works in reception and one that works in bestowal, these are completely different meanings that are not similar in any way. That is why there's no reason to even try to understand what the Zohar writes about and interpret it in some way. But everything that is written is only so that out of the desire to understand it, I'll first not yearn for direct understanding. That's impossible. Rather, for assuming the second nature. First, I'll receive the light that reforms, that will influence me, that will change my nature, and to the extent that it will, I'll understand what the Zohar writes about. It'll suddenly become apparent to me in a way that the book opens up. So, we relate to this reading as a remedy. And the fact that we don't understand, we realize that it's correct, and that's how it should be. and we only expect the result of the force that appears in one that reads the book with the longing to understand by changing my nature. That's how the book will work on me. This is why he says, in order to understand the words of the Holy Zohar, we first must have the nature that the authors of the Zohar have, out of which they wrote and expressed their thoughts. Questions? Yes. There are two quotes about this, about the remedy, the light that reforms, from the writings of Baal HaSulam, the essence of the wisdom of Kabbalah. It is said there is a great remedy in the wisdom of Kabbalah, that all those who engage in it, although they don't understand what is written, they become purified by it, and the upper lights come closer to them. The other quote is from the writings of Rabash. It says this: our sages said, I created the evil inclination and I created the Torah as a spice. The matter of the spice is like our sages said, I wish they had left me and kept my Torah, because the light in it reforms. It follows that there is a remedy in the Torah that reforms the person, referring to the evil within the person, which is the will to receive, that so as to make it in order to bestow. In truth, our entire study is for that purpose, not just the Zohar, Talmud HaSfirot, the articles, the essays, all that we read. If we study it in order to understand, we're not attaining the goal. Meaning, on the one hand, he says that we should learn with a great longing to understand what we learn, and then we attract the light that reforms. But we are misinterpreting the word to know or to understand here, because to know in Kabbalah means to bond. As the verse, Adam knew Eve, it refers to the zivug, coupling, connection, bonding. If a person wants to be in contact with the spiritual world, to enter the spiritual world, live in the spiritual world, experience it, unlock it, feel it, it is only by the law of equivalence of form. If a person has the same qualities as in the spiritual world, that's why until we change our nature, we don't feel it. So how can we go through some surgery or take a medicine or do something to change our nature? That is why the wisdom of Kabbalah comes to us, and it tells us about the spiritual world. When we are in this world and we don't understand a word of what it talks about, then if we think we understand, it's an illusion. It's a complete illusion. We don't understand. So what do we study for? Only in order to receive the remedy, which is a unique force that will influence us and change our nature. To the extent that this force influences us and changes our nature, to that extent we understand what Kabbalah books are talking about, and nothing besides this. So one who studies in order to know and understand intellectually becomes what's called a bat, meaning he thinks he is in light, but he's really in darkness. Meaning he may know what every page is about, and he can philosophize about it, about the words, but he doesn't feel what's behind the words. He's not attaining it. And opposite to that are those who change their nature, by which they actually attain and exist in the spiritual world. They become what is called children of the next world. So, as we study the wisdom of Kabbalah, we should be cautious so that our study will be to change our nature, that we will demand an inner change by the study. The study is in order to give us a new sensation of the spiritual world that we actually feel and experience. Not that we learn here in this life about something that is somewhere over the barrier. That's a big difference between those who like philosophizing with the wisdom of Kabbalah, who accept it as plain wisdom, as it is written, if there is wisdom in the nations, believe that. Nations means those who want to receive in their will to receive. And Torah in the nations do not believe, meaning the light in it reforms. We learn for the light, expecting that it will change our nature. And then only according to the changes in us, only the changes that we go through allow us to determine that we actually study the Torah, not just wisdom, which eventually gives us nothing, even the other way around. As it is written in the introduction to Tess, their eyes become darkened. Baal Salam elaborates on that in this essay. Yes. The approach to studying the Zohar is explained well. I wanted to ask whether you can distinguish between studying the Zohar and Baal Salam's articles in order to complete the approach to the study in general. Baal Salam's articles are written not only for those who are supposed to attain. That's why we're reading this, and that's why they read this material in order to attract the light that reforms. I'm talking about the essence of the wisdom of Kabbalah, Kabbalah and philosophy, Kabbalah and modern science, all those articles of this kind, even the peace and Arvut and free will. Baal Salam wrote those articles to the people, as it says there, in order to publicize them in the many, to everyone. Even a person who doesn't feel that he needs to attain spirituality, doesn't feel that yearning, the point in the heart, the question of the meaning of life, knowing what for, even without it, he can still benefit from this article, because he's explained what the wisdom of Kabbalah is. He somehow understands. Of course, he can't see right away. Look how many times we're reading the same articles, dozens of times probably, until we understand that it was written for just plain knowledge for one person, and for another person who really wants to achieve changes, it is written as a remedy, allowing him to draw the force that is needed for his inner change. But it was written for both. That's the kind of articles he wrote. Obviously, in terms of his writing, since he is in the world of truth, in the world of bestowal, even when he writes about Kabbalah and philosophy, it doesn't matter what I read, I can still draw the light that reforms. But in those articles, he says that not all the parts of the Torah are equal in the light that reforms in them. And the books of Kabbalah, as opposed to all the other writings like the Talmud and the Mishnah and the Bible and so on, those that are written in the language of Kabbalah is where the light that reforms works efficiently, intensively. And that's why we use the writings of Kabbalah. And what about the Zohar? The Zohar was written in a very unique way. It was also written by a group of Kabbalists, and therefore understanding it is possible only if a person longs for connection with others. Generally, the entire Torah can be understood only in an appropriate vessel, and the appropriate vessel is one that connects with the broken souls that wish to unite, to reunite through love thy friend as thyself. Because a single individual cannot unlock the Torah, only on the condition that he longs for connection with others. So that's one condition. The other is that we're reading the Zohar with the commentary of the latter, which includes the language of Kabbalah. So the same force of the Zohar, along with the interpretation, the commentary of the Sulam, the latter, allows us a bit of foothold, grasp, somewhat, and longing, and intense light that reforms. The commentary of the latter contains the entire expression of three lines, and this is how we benefit from this study.
Or Talmud Esra Sfirot and such writings, where also, if we read them for the sake of remedy and not for the sake of knowledge, in order to know what it says, because just to know, it's like a scientist who come and start researching, and other than few philosophizes, has nothing in it. A question from Israel. We keep using the word segula, remedy. Does that remedy affect everyone who wants to study, or should you have a special, you should need to have a special quality in order to acquire it? Remedy means that I press a button and all of a sudden something happens somewhere, and I didn't know that there was a connection between the two things. That is called remedy, meaning we are in nature with decisive rules. I have not changed Havaya. My laws are absolute, etc. Havaya, as we study from four phases of direct light, all is under these laws of Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei. But in that system, we don't understand the way it works. And therefore, Kabbalists tell us, like we address babies. We say, this is allowed, this is forbidden, press here, see what happens there. They don't know the system, and we don't know the higher system, but they tell you, do this, and then you will extract upon you the light that reforms. So you have to read the book, know how to read the book. You should know what you're missing. And if you want to know what is the meaning in your lives, what do you live for, what's their purpose, is there a purpose to your lives, etc. Meaning, so if you relate to text in a purposeful way, that you want to have an answer for your life and their meanings, then you're facing a book called a Torah. Why a Torah? Because that book affects you through a special force called light, which changes you and bring you to see the purpose of creation, purpose of your life, and to advance towards that goal so that you will be able to attain it. How does it work? You don't know yet. You will discover it later on. But in order to advance, we explain to you. You press a button here, meaning you with your deficiency, with the book, with your friends, with all these conditions, you relate to the text. You also have a guide which explains to you how to relate to it, and it keeps reminding you how to do it. And then gradually you get that remedy time after time until it begins to have an effect on you. And you begin to feel the change. Not necessarily for better. You start feeling sick all of a sudden, that you are not like the same world the book is talking about. You feel darkness. You feel rejection. You feel different changes. But these changes, they already come to you from the light that reforms. It evokes in you the feeling of your nature, that you are in order to receive. You have the nature of receiving in your ego. And as much as you want to be in it or not, agree to it or not, you have to go through all these steps. And you don't know the steps you have to go through. It's not your business. You only have to use the remedy. And if you feel good or bad, if you are rejected from the study or drawn to the study, try to keep on going. Patience here and persistence along the way, this is what brings you the success. And this is how you have to crave for that light that reforms until it arranges for you its influence in such a way where you start feeling already, seeing the connection between your study to that light. So it's not a remedy anymore. It becomes something apparent. And then you're already a part of the system, and you gradually understand the way it works, how you are comprised when this light works on you, changes your inclinations, desires, thoughts, intentions. How do you act with your desire? How do you influence that higher system where the light is coming from? With which intentions and different kinds of your desire or your thoughts? Then you extract more light, etc. So you start getting to know the system, like in everything we learn of. In the beginning, we only studied superficially. This is connected to that. Why? I don't know. But then I penetrate the system. I start feeling it. And within, I begin to build its pattern, model. And this is how I begin to investigate experiencing this world. So it can all be understood as in our world. We build within us a kind of a replica when I come to a certain device or a system, a car suppose, or a machine, I have to know how it works. So knowing is not studying it on the outside. I actually build from within this pattern, this model, and I feel and understand in my mind how it should work. Same thing here. Only the problem here is that first I have to be able to build in me the spiritual system. So first I need to acquire spiritual qualities. And then that system gradually is revealed, built, connected to me. And then I understand, instead of just remedy, just pressing a button on myself to study, I already begin to understand that system, Parzufim, Sfirot, Olamot, and how to work on them deliberately. And this is how I enter the wisdom of Kabbalah already, and I understand what the Zohar is talking about. It tells me, do this, don't do that, go here, turn there, see the system, learn that this is working like this, and that is working like that, and then accordingly, I begin to feel it, work with it, with all the Patsufim, Olamot, Sfirot, with the inner force called the Creator, I begin to reveal Him, and more and more. A question from the U.S., New York. It says that the Torah is a spice. It does not say that the Zohar is a spice. So how can we learn the interpretation without knowing the source then? Torah. Once I entered a synagogue and I've seen a box. And something long was standing there from skin, from leather. It says different, there were different signs on that leather. I didn't know Hebrew then. And they told me, this is a book of Torah. They told me how I had to kiss it, so I kissed it. Okay. So, I hope I didn't ruin the leather. And I also don't know what I got in return. God forbid, I'm not showing any disrespect here. I respect that thing. Because this is an expression of a very sublime spiritual concept. But all in all, this is what people call a book of Torah. In that book of Torah, if I'm reading it, it says, I have created the evil inclination, I have created the Torah as a spice. So the Torah is a spice then. What are spices? Are peppermint, salt, vinegar, paprika, what else? Kurkum. More names of spices, please. Okay, I see you've got plenty of Torah, because if it's a spice, then you know many spices. So you're probably are very wise. So I didn't know what it meant, Torah is a spice. So I started asking, a spice for what? They told me a spice for the evil inclination. But I don't feel any evil inclination. So first of all, I have to discover the evil inclination, and then I spice it a little bit, and then I can eat it, right? And it becomes the good inclination, and then I feel good. So the whole Torah is for me to spice my evil inclination a little bit, so it will be fit for usage. See what it says. As if this is something secondary. Of course, without it, we can't use that inclination. It's uneatable. But all in all, this is only some additional. So it's not the entire creation. Therefore, it is called that the light in it is the light that reforms. This is the act of the spice. What does that mean? It means that over my desire, to the extent that I feel that it is bad, I can extract a remedy, a spice. So instead of evil, that desire will be good. The evil inclination is a desire. Suppose I feel bad because I'm smoking and I can't get rid of that desire. We can understand it. Is it said that it is not healthy and I feel that I'm coughing and killing myself, but still I can't get rid from that desire. So suppose I come to the Torah, I press a button, I read an article, I have extracted over myself a certain force, and instead of wanting to smoke, I don't want to smoke anymore. I want to exercise. Even that. And instead of the evil inclination, it becomes a good inclination. So this is the process we have to go through. So what's in it for me? You will get rid from your evil inclination and you will be healthier. It is really so. I'm being very practical here. Only first I need to discover that I am in the evil inclination. Therefore, when we come to the wisdom of Kabbalah, with the question of what is the meaning of our lives, why do we live for, we want to attain the purpose of life, etc., all in all, after months of effort in the wisdom of Kabbalah, we begin to feel bad. I don't feel like to, don't want to. Life becomes darkened, less taste, less emotions, some kind of block in my mind and heart. This is the revelation of the evil inclination. And then if a person doesn't run away from it, at that moment, many ran away from carrying on. Because I see that I came to the wisdom of Kabbalah. I thought that the heaven will open up for me. I will start understanding everything. I will discover angels. And through them, I will start changing my destiny, taking advantage of the whole world, understanding everything, feeling things. The secrets, great secrets, there are there. And all of a sudden, things become worse for me. I feel bad. And those people who don't understand that this first step is the revelation of evil inclination, I have created the evil inclination. A person has to feel himself like a slave in Egypt, like in the exile of Egypt. Then he can't come, he can't reach the light, to the revelation of the spiritual world. Therefore it says, 1,000 enter the room, but only one come out to the light. Meaning many people enter and taste a little bit something. They don't get an immediate fulfillment or immediate revelation. So probably it's not it, and they walk away. And then they will return after a few years, perhaps in the next incarnation, but still they won't run away. There is nowhere to run away to. Everybody should come to the realization of the purpose eventually.
That's it. So our entire path is to know what the Torah is, how it influences us, that light which reforms. So first, it reveals to me that I'm evil and that I really feel like that. And then in that, it shows me why I feel bad. At first, I think I feel bad because I feel bad. Later, I understand I feel bad because I'm opposite to spirituality. There, it's good, and here, it's bad. So I start not accepting it. I don't like it. I hate it. But I have a direction already. Then I begin to yearn. and then the light begins to correct me to the extent of my yearning. It begins to bring me the quality of bestowal instead of the quality of reception. In truth, I didn't come to the wisdom of Kabbalah to be a giver, to be loving towards others. I didn't even think about it. I didn't care about others. I cared about my life. And that's the only thing I wanted to change up a little bit, to reveal something that's higher, loftier. Me and my life, why do I care about others? I agree to be alone in the world as well. Suddenly, you begin to discover, and that's the second phase, harder than the first one. That I'm told, spirituality is bestowal. Now, you can understand what bestowal is if you connect with the other friends. There's a reason why you're brought to the group. You're not just brought to a book, you're brought to a group. And this is designed this way in the system of this world, that you're brought into a group where you have to start realizing a special connection between you and the others, like a seed in the soil. You have to draw the forces to advance from them. What you were given is like a seed. You don't have any other force to advance. You have to absorb all the forces from the environment. How will you get these forces from them? By connecting with them, by complimenting them, doing good things to them. They'll start influencing you in a good way. Start feeling them as greater than you, instead of disrespecting everyone. Because that's our nature. We feel ourselves as the greatest, and all the others are there to serve me. If you feel them as greater, then as a little one, you can receive from the greater ones. You'll have a reason to be envious of them. You'll have something to receive from them. Then you'll want to connect with them to absorb forces for spiritual development from them. This is like a seed in the soil. It extracts the different minerals or fluids, substances from the soil in order to advance. Its entire progress is due to the environment. So this is how it is with us, so that you can nullify your ego before the society and learn how to somewhat bestow, although it is still corporeal and still not bestowal, but you'll start feeling what it is. And when you do that with respect to the society and you study together with them and so on, you'll discover another phase in your advancement. What is that? That you discover that you totally, absolutely hate them. You can't do anything about it. That's like the mountain of Sinai. That's what you feel on the one hand, and on the other hand, you also feel, as it is written, either you unite or this will be your burial place. And you cannot meet that condition, because there is a mountain of hatred and you can't do anything about it. Then the studying, and once again the light that reforms, works on you even stronger, and it nevertheless brings you the urgency, the necessity to reach the goal. And then you cry, help. And that outcry is called the Gate of Tears, which is really called Man, a request for the reception of the force of Torah. Why is it called Torah? Specifically in that state of Mount Sinai, the light, the force that unites the souls is revealed. The points in the hearts, and in the connection between them, You reveal the kli, the shared desire, the mutual desire to bestow upon each other, to be in arvut towards each other. And by the arvut, you receive the feeling of the spiritual world, which is a world of bestowal, a world of love. And from that moment onwards, you enter a spiritual sensation. So look, there are a few steps here which are great obstacles, and the Torah tells us about them. The labor in Egypt, the escape from Egypt, the crossing of the Red Sea, the sin of the golden calf, and Mount Sinai, then how the 40 years of the desert, and how bad they felt there until they came to the land of Israel. Land means a desire. Israel means Yeshakel, straight to the Creator, when they already replaced their desire to receive with a desire to bestow. Look how many steps are there from the recognition of evil that started in Egypt until the revelation of the good, the entrance to the land of Israel. And in the land of Israel, there are battles that you have to fight there too. Seven nations with which you fight to expel them from the land of Israel. This is referring to your egoistic qualities that you have to fight with as you enter the land also. So, starting from the 7 years of satiation, when everything is great in Egypt, you're good, everything is in front of you, you came to the wisdom of Kabbalah, and everything is great, and then the 7 years of hunger become revealed, the governance of Pharaoh. You didn't think before that the evil is your own quality, your nature that rules you, and so on. It continues. So there's a very, very complicated process here. And therefore, many come, but not everyone cross to the light, to what's called teaching, Hora'ah, light, from those who come. In our generation, it's not like one in a thousand, like it was written 2,000 years ago, but still, many run away if they don't come and stay for the first time. So maybe in the second time or the third time. Sometimes I see people coming back after 5 years, 7 years, and so on. Some people will come back in the next life cycle, if not in this one. But eventually, everyone will have to do it. It depends on how a person connects with the society and how the society can tie him by working together in dissemination and by friendships and by until he is enveloped in a way that he's influenced, and then he understands and is willing to go through these phases. And in society too, some people go through these stages in just several years, and others need 10 or 20 years for that, until they really open their eyes, meaning reveal the spiritual world. It all depends on man's relation with the society. Why him specifically? Well, okay. I'll tell you why. Because his friend told me to point it at him that I should answer him. You see, all the others raised their hand for themselves. And why do you need to be miserable, quote-unquote, to study the wisdom of Kabbalah? This is what I feel. Well, that's what you feel. You already feel miserable. Quote unquote, he said. Well, if you feel good in life, why will you want anything from here? You know, now it's 4:15 a.m. Israel time. Why do I need to sit somewhere where nothing is given to me besides this tasteless coffee? You know, after an hour, I get a really bad cup of coffee. It's not even good coffee. So you come here, and it's winter, it's cold outside. You come here and you sit, and what do you see here? What? You see a beautiful actor giving you a nice performance. I don't know, maybe you see me like that. So, in order to evoke you to these things, you're given two forces. One is pushing you away from this world, telling you that there is nothing more to enjoy in this world. You, your life, your work, your kids, you can even start seeing the end and how it all ends, and it's all a waste of time. What can you do here? You feel the emptiness. Although there are many kinds of opportunities, but they're not real opportunities anymore. I don't really want them. On the other hand, it's not enough. If you would only have that feeling, then you would just go and take some drugs or do all kinds of things to calm yourself down and ignore that deficit. But besides that, you're given a desire for spirituality, a point in the heart. And that instead of bittering your life only, another taste is added where you feel that there you will find some pleasure, some fulfillment. And then you come here, meaning sitting in bed, you feel bad, and you think that here you'll feel better. That's why you come. So, can you describe any other situation, if not by these two forces, that you would come here? No, because we are just a will to receive. Who am I? I want to enjoy. So you're given a feeling that where you are, you will not enjoy, and there you may enjoy. So you see, this is why 250 people are sitting here now, and if you look at them, you're right, they're miserable. Yes. There in the back. It is important to change my nature, to change man's nature, but how do I achieve a state where I actually want it? The light does that. Just like I explained this process now, this is what the light is doing. In the beginning, when you enter Egypt, meaning when you start studying the wisdom of Kabbalah, you think everything will be fine, the road is paved and so on. You know, when I came to Rabash, he was 75 approximately, and next to him, close to him, there were others at his age that were students of Baal HaSulam. I remember I started studying and I didn't know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, what's going on? Is something happening? And I asked the guy, his name was Menachem, he was a student of Baal HaSulam. And I asked him, what's going on? What's going to happen? He told me, just wait a few more days, 2 weeks tops. The light does its job. You just have to go on, continue. That's it, I have nothing else to say. So the remedy is just to read the books, and the remedy is to listen to what the guide tells you. In the meantime, that's me. No, because you need a direction. You need some guidance on what you need to do. So in order to organize these conditions for you, you need this babysitter. the one that guides you and shows you, gives you an example, a direction, and so on. But don't expect me to do anything for you. I'm just showing you how to relate to the means. I'm one of your means. That's all. I'm on a duty. That's it. Besides that, the books must be the authentic sources. The Zohar, the writings of the Ari, the writings of Baal HaSulam. These are the sources that work directly in the sharpest, most focused way. And Baal HaSulam, because he took the Zohar and gave it the commentary of the Sulam and the writings of the Ari, which he also reworked, this, including the writings of the Ari, gives us all that we need for our generation to achieve the correct implementation. So we have the books, and you have the guide, which is, in the meantime, myself, and a group. Now, the group, like our friend just said, these miserable guys, are these the people I can advance with? They also came, you know, who are they? What do they know? Right? So, can I advance with them? If you put me in Rabbi Shimon's group, or, you know, with Rabbi Chia, with Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon there is the head, and then I'll be a little guy there, sitting on their knees, and then it's obvious that I can advance. But here, you're right, you said they're miserable. Quote unquote, well, it doesn't matter. They're really so. They really are. So what do you do? It turns out that the group is not what I see, because I'm seeing with my eyes, and my ego always lowers them. That's how I feel them. If I would truly see what's going on, I would see that they are all completely corrected. Not like they feel themselves, and not like how they present themselves and appear before me. No, I would see them, feel them, in just complete, corrected, infinite vessels. Final correction. That's it. Only me, only I am not with them. So, I'm in a state where around me there is the entire kli of the final correction, and I must connect with that system. And I am like a cell or an organ in that system that is the only one which is uncorrected. The entire system besides me is functioning and only awaits me to put my piece of the mosaic here. And then everything will be infinite. So everything is there besides my correct participation. So the correct connection with the group and with the books and with the study is really our work. That's all. So from above, you have all the means. Now the ball is in your court. So, a question. If we understand that it's obvious that 2 weeks it won't take. Yeah, I wanted to kill him afterwards. He was kind of a comedian, you know. He was an old guy, but full of life. Because, you know, there was someone else that I came to after a few months. I used to live in Rehovot, and they studied in Bnei Brak. So I came to his place. I slept in his home in order to be there on the weekend and to work with Rabash. So he told me, I look at you and I'm amazed. You have your own clinic. You make good money every month. You have a good car, a good house. Your family, wife and kids, what do you need? I told him, well, I have what I have, but I don't feel that this is what I want. I want the meaning of life. He told me, you know, you need to be here 20 or 30 years in order to get it. I saw black in my eyes. I came to Rabash and I told him, look, this guy told me a couple of days, a few weeks, that's it. And maybe 2 months already passed. And the other guy is telling me 20 years. What's going on here? He told me, the one who told you 2 weeks is really treating you in a good way. And he did good to you. The fact that you lied to a baby is because you have to play with it until it grows. The one who told you 20 years should be killed. I'll throw him away. I started being afraid. Because, you know, it's a whole clan there. It was a person whose father and grandfather studied with Baal HaSulam. You know, it's like a whole dynasty kind of thing. Where, you know, I didn't want to get into a whole thing with them. You know how it is between all those Hasids. He's there because he's a Hasid. You know, he was just a kind of a follower that was in that environment, close to the Abash. But I felt very bad about all that. 20 years, what's going on? I was, you know, 30 years. I was in my 30s, but when you think about it this way at that age, you think that is somewhere. So, yeah, you have to be patient. I don't think that today, and I see that today, it doesn't take that much time. The discernments are made much faster. The stages happen in a good pace. And the influence of the environment and the world group that we have, and now that we're entering, and going close and coming closer to the near convention that we have, and all those that want to advance will be with us for 3 years, so we can really make an impact, and those who take part will feel it. Because that impact, you know, it's called the impact of the light. It's not a negative thing, it's a positive thing. It depends on whether a person is ready for it or not. If we're all together and we want it to happen, then why not? May it happen. Yes. The way in which the friends and all those who listen to the lessons of the Zohar, some people accept it and flow with it, for some people it's harder. Does it have to do with everyone's root of the soul, or it's the reshimot that one is experiencing? Each and every one advances according to the root of his soul, in steps. But the pace is determined by your connection with the group. That's it. Not your connection with the book and the light that reforms, because that's all a result from your connection with the group. Just like I told him, why is he there? Because there are two forces. One is pushing him out of bed. The other is telling him, there you can feel pleasure. And then he comes here at 3 a.m. Same thing with the group. I also need to absorb two forces from the group. A pushing force and a pulling force. What is it? I turn to the group and I need to feel the greatness of the goal, the greatness of the group, the greatness of what I'm doing, of what I'm engaged in, on the one hand. On the other hand, I feel the lowness of myself, that I have nothing, that towards them I'm just dumb. So there has to be, as it is written, envy, lust, and honor that take the person out of this world. This world refers to the present state. Every state is called a world. So I have to use envy, lust, and honor. And thank God, I don't lack that in my ego. Anyone lacks that? I don't think so. Everyone has that, right? Don't think it's too much. It'll grow even more. And you need it. You need a lot of envy and honor and lust in order to achieve the goal. And one who's greater than his friend, his inclination is greater than himself. But I have to use it. I have to be envy at them. I have to feel that they are greater, more successful, and where am I, and so on. Connection with the society. The lowness of myself, the greatness of the goal that I get from them. These two discernments. This is what progresses, hastens my advancement, my times. Who's new here? Yes, these two. Ah, you see, he raises his hand again. I rented him. Okay. How do I know if the group advances me? How do you know if the group advances you or not? Well, what do you think? No, because there's some contradiction in what you're saying in terms of if I see them as the greatest of the generation, and on the other hand, how do I explain it? It's like, I don't know if it's real or not. If I really advance or and thanks to them or not, or... Oh, so your question is how to know that you're using the group in the right way? Yes, and that they're really good for me. That they're good. That they're good for me to advance. Because why do I need society? No, correct. Yes, otherwise you don't need them. For sure, I agree with you. No, it's really so. Why do I need anyone next to me? To get something from them. That's a healthy approach. Correct. The thing is that you can even be among Rabbi Shimon and his group, and you'll be there and you'll get nothing. Or you may be among people who look ordinary, mundane to you, and you'll get all you need to achieve infinity. It all depends on you. It all depends on you. You're studying in the campus, no? No. Now I see. I'm seeing you here all the time. Why aren't you studying in the campus? I'm from the Tel Baruch group, studying with Dawn. Ah, okay. Well, then I guess you need to... Well, you know, you're northern guys. It's always like that with you. So, you should study the allegory, the story of Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma. Can you read it to us? Yes. Baal HaSulam from the article The Freedom. How Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma gave up thousands a lot of money in order to not leave the place where children of Torah were there. We're talking about a Kabbalist who was a single Kabbalist in his generation, and we're talking about 2,500 years ago. He was the greatest Kabbalist in that generation, and he was with he had students, you know, miserable guys. So the rich people from the other city came to him and told him, "We'll build an academy for you. You know, you'll live in a palace. You'll teach whoever you want. We'll do anything for you. Just move to our place. You'll be appreciated, respected, and you'll have all you need. So a lot of all the money you need, you'll get everything you need, you'll get." And he himself was poor, and he studied with his students. So what did he say? It's a real story from life. Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma gave up a lot of money because he didn't want to dwell in a city where there were no children of Torah. But he himself was a great sage, and he didn't need to learn from anyone. Children of Torah refers to those who long for the light that reforms. So in that city, there were no one like that. There were, you know, people who, to the point, rich people with, you know, northern guys. So it is a wonder, because Rabbi Yossi, if he will leave his environment and move to a harmful environment, his reason will go wrong, and the forces in him will remain concealed, not used, because he won't have the right environment to be able to activate them and put them into practice. So what does it say in simple words? If I move away from my students, although they seem like nothing, they don't know anything, completely dependent on me. This is how it seems. But in them, there is a system of connection. Although, it's, how do I know if it's there? You don't know. That's your relation. You are in the world of Ein Sof right now as well. It depends on how you look at the world, how you relate to it. If you relate to the friends as the greatest of the generation. Did you read this article at least? Yeah, we read it. We read the story of Yossi Ben Kisma too. Ah, okay, I'm sorry. So tell Doron I'm sorry. So it all depends on your attitude. You can see them as greatest or littlest. Who are they? Really? How you see them. That is according to the article, The Concealment and Revelation of the Creator. There's an article like that. Meaning you can see the world as the world of Ein Sof, that the Creator governs and is manifested in everything, or you can look at everything as wrong and there's nothing here. So the group is what you make. You make it. You can look at it from 0 to 100%. Okay? Excellent. What about your friend there? What does he want? Hi, I'm one of the northern guys too. And for us, it's hard with the this concept of being miserable. I understand, of course. So I wanted to ask, we're studying a few years with Doron's group, and as far as I understood, we have two sides here, two forces. And if I identify the evil inclination in me, but I feel good about it. So how could it be an evil inclination? Just a second. I feel good, but I understand that it is an evil inclination, and despite that, I still come here and study in the middle of the night. So, do I have to feel bad in order to come to study? I don't know what do you consider bad. If you come here, it already means you lack something. So, is it lacking in a way that you really have to get rid of it? What is the evil inclination? What do you think? Well, honor, chasing money, exploiting people, lust, things that I identify that, you know, that there's nowhere to go with them. So you're saying that you feel it, well, yes, but I understand. Well, understanding it is worthless, really. That's just understanding it. Two, you can keep your chase after money and women or whatever. This isn't the evil inclination. This is not the evil inclination. The evil inclination means this. We were all once connected. Just like cogwheels. Yeah, like the story we know. And suddenly, there was an impact of the light, a hit of the light, and we were all broken. We broke apart and we started moving away from each other, hating each other. So we're like pieces of the same body, but everyone is in his own thing. And and is hateful towards the others and only wants to use them for his own good. So the breaking is that all those organs of this general body called Adam, which the Creator created, this general will to receive, that was fulfilled when there was connection between all the pieces, and that connection is the quality of bestowal between them, and that is called Creator. The connection between the desires, that is called the light, the Creator, that connection.
That connection was gone. That means that the Creator departed. And souls without the Creator remained, without the connection between us. And then we also feel ourselves not as souls, rather as we feel ourselves now. Instead of feeling 613 desires of the soul and feeling the spiritual world, I feel the lowest degree, which means I feel my body and I feel others the way I do. And really, we're in the same world of Ein Sof, in the souls, and the Creator is there and all, but it departed from our feeling. What was revealed instead of that connection, instead of the Creator between us? Instead, the force of shattering was revealed between us. The force of shattering. Hatred. Evil inclination. And this is what we have to reveal. It's not money. Do whatever you want in our world. It doesn't have any impact at all. You can be very rich, very smart. You don't have to be miserable necessarily. You can be everything you want to. But it has nothing to do with the evil inclination. The evil inclination is only with reference to your connection with others, and not just common people on the street, like those bleeding-hearted people, so-called pity souls who wants to do good things for one another. Rather, that connection is revealed only on condition that you are in a group and you engage with the love of friends. And you feel, you discover that you hate them after all the efforts that you make. Meaning the evil inclination is revealed by the light that reforms. This is what you've started learning the wisdom of Kabbalah. So you're studying. And then from zero, you come to a certain point where you reveal the evil inclination, the fact that you study, and the main thing is that you're a part in a group and you want to connect with them. And you understand that you have to, because this is the way to attain spirituality. And then you see, no, I can't. I hate them. Then you come to the revelation of Mount Sinai. I don't understand the concept of hatred. Why should I hate them? You will hate them because this is the force of shattering which will be revealed in you. I understand you when you ask me, why should I hate them? They are good guys, good friends. I'm indifferent towards them. No, you have to reach the true state, and that is a state where I hate them. I want to exploit them. I have no connection to them, none whatsoever, except for exploiting them, taking advantage of them. This is on the one hand. On the other hand, along with that, another discernment is revealed, that I have to connect with them, that through the connection between us, this is where I reveal spirituality and the force of bestowal, where I feel the spiritual life. This is what happened to us in that system when one soul broke into many different souls. We have to feel, to discover, to reveal the shattering between us, so that we will have the need to correct it. So what do you offer me now, so that I will have to, so that I will start hating them? How do I come to hatred? That is a very good question. To study a lot of Torah. Yes, I'm not mocking you. This is the revelation of the truth. This is the revelation of the truth and the situation where we are truly are. It's not an easy thing to do. Go out to the street. Everybody will tell you, "Why? I love everybody." Everybody will tell you that. We had such a friend. He's still here. Duchin. He had a song. I was amazed to hear it. "Who loves you more than me?" This is something he wrote a few years ago. It's a hit. It's her, who loves you. Oh, I didn't hear that. So in his last CD, what did he write? "I hate you. I wanna destroy you," etc., etc., etc. See? So he had made some progress. Yes. This is a progress. What can we do? This is why I'm telling you that the steps that we are going through in the recognition of our nature, that this is who we are, these are steps. But this is already a diagnose. You have reached a state where you understand what your disease is, that you're sick, that you have to cure yourself in order to become healthier. So how much do you pay for that? How many devices do we build in order to discover the diseases? This is a major part of the healing process. Therefore, it doesn't just come like that immediately, instantly. You? Okay. It says about what we just said in the interpretation of the letter over the Zohar, item 64-5. How good and how pleasant the sitting of brothers together. These are the friends while they are sitting together, never apart from one another. At first, they are like people of war, wanting to kill one another. Friends sitting together. Do you understand? And then they return to love one another. And what does the Creator say? How good and how pleasant the sitting of brothers together. Also together. There's also hatred inside, and over that there's love. One can be without the other. That means that love will cover for all crimes. The world also comes to include the divinity along with them. There in the middle. In that case, the only thing we have to correct is only the hatred between friends. If the hatred will be revealed, the destruction will be revealed. Like Rabbi Akiva, "Love thy friend as thyself," and they came to an absolute unfounded hatred. And then when we will return to "Love thy friend as thyself." In the feeling of love between us, this is where we'll discover the spiritual world, the Creator and everything. That John in Alaska, alone next to the screen. No, in Alaska we have Jeffrey. I just said John. Whom does he hate? He sits there alone next to his screen. No, he's with us for a few years, and believe me, he discovers the hatred that he has. You know our groups. You've seen them at least. Plenty of people, and they discover it. Of course they do. And there are problems in all the groups. They begin to hate, and then they don't understand that it comes from above. They begin to separate from one another. And then they begin to listen. No, we have reached a good state where we hate one another. We have to unite. And then there is a very complicated struggle.
we have such situations that they're going through, and that's a part of the path. Only we should understand that it has to be like that, and you have to carry on. There are people who come and they do not speak to one another. In Chicago group, it was revealed. In many other groups, it happens in every group. In Rome, where I've just been to, or in Chile, it happened everywhere. Every group is going through such problems. And until they begin to understand that this hatred, when they cannot stand one another, be with another, with all those pitiful calculations, this is a part of the path. This is exactly how it should be. In that case, the whole 1600 mitzvot is only the correction of hatred in the connection between friends. The 613 mitzvot is our 613 hatred towards others that we have to turn them into loving the others. That's true. I'm choosing those who didn't ask before. A question. If in my necessity in life there's another one who is not in the path of Kabbalah, how in the perception of my reality I turn him to be a part of me? If in my necessity, daily necessity, there is another who is not a part of the path of Kabbalah, meaning in your daily necessity, let's say in your family at work, yes, how do I turn him a part of me? You have to make such a correction to turn someone else into a part of you? I've never heard such a thing, that there is such a mitzvah. Mitzvah is called a correction that I do. Mitzvah, that means that my soul, which has 613 desires, and I have to correct them from in order to receive to in order to bestow, from hatred to love. That's it. What does it have to do with others? I don't know. To bestow upon others, to pressure them, to influence them, to twist them around, to also do something. There is no such thing. It's forbidden. It's forbidden. I have kids. So like a father gives them an education, so I have to educate them the way I think too, because by nature I give to my child what I think is best for him. So this is how it's arranged by nature. But if we're not talking about my kids, then no. And towards others, God forbid. You mustn't oppress them or force them or pressure them or coerce them. God forbid, that's something terrible. You destroy his soul and you harm yourself for generations until he will get rid of it through many life circles, and you included. Therefore, our circulation is like that. You want a paper? Fine. You don't want it? Fine. You want our TV channel? Fine. You don't want to? Fine. But we never do anything aggressive. On the contrary. Also, you see, you come today, come next Friday or in the middle of the week, nobody will ask you, a friend or two can call you and ask you, why didn't you make it? But nobody will force you, no one will pull you in, because that's forbidden. So all in all, everybody should do things through their own free choice in order to have a chance to advance. Otherwise, he does not correct his soul. He corrects the desires of the others, but he can't correct the others, only spoil them, ruin them. Therefore, everyone is on his own. Okay, another new young guy. What is that feeling of prison that I feel? The feeling of prison. I feel that I'm alone in this world. I don't feel connected to anyone else. I feel like if it's choking. I don't know, there are many feelings like that. Prison that I feel, and the fact that I feel that I'm not connected to others, perhaps that's a good thing. That will push me forwards to connect to them. The fact that I feel isolated, that they don't help me, they don't come to me, so perhaps I don't evoke my connection to them. I don't show them that I want to be a friend with them, to be connected with them. It is written, buy yourself a friend. Did you pay? I'm asking you. It says, buy yourself a friend. Or make yourself a teacher. Did you make yourself a teacher? What can I do if I hate? What can I do about my hatred? If they hate you, no. If I hate them. So you have to pay. What does it mean to pay? To make an effort. Bring them gifts. Although you hate them, you have to understand that this is your nature. Our problem is that we have to relate to our nature that it is not us. This is not us. When I'm going to a doctor and he examines me and discovers all kinds of things, is it me or is it my body, which has blood pressure, other parts which don't work properly, or so is it me? This is my body. It's true, perhaps I was the cause, but this is my body. Same thing about our nature. It says, I have created the evil inclination. He created me this way. So I don't relate to it as it is, as if it is me. And I have nothing to be ashamed of. Go to the craftsman who made me. You have something to me? Go to him. He made me the way he did. Why? This is in order for us so that you won't be connected to what you are today personally, that this is me. No. For the time being, it is in you. Like a CD, you know. It was installed into your computer, and this is how you work. So I have to be hypocrite? No, don't be hypocrite. You have to know that this internality, this software, this hardware, these qualities can be replaced. What will be left of you? Nothing. Not your heart and neither your mind. Nothing will remain. Everything will be new. Everything. New heaven, new earth. So it's a greater effort. It's an effort in order to replace my nature with a higher nature. How do we overcome it when you know that they hate you? You overcome it when you understand that this is not you, that you're being played with. The hatred is not you. He created it. He created you. He's playing with us. Instead of the connection between us, which he once did, and hold us together, he left away. And he inserted that hatred between us. So how do I disconnect myself from reality? Look at it from the outside. Look at yourself and others from the outside, from the point in the heart. This is why it was given to you. So to look only at points? Yes. Great, great, great. Whom am I looking at? I'm not looking at people. What? Their faces. This is what I'm looking at. I don't see anyone beautiful here. About the nature of all of them. I don't even want to talk about it. What do I have to look at? I can look at the points in the heart's points. They have the yearning to reveal the Creator. And this yearning, that point, this is something He ignites in them. This is what I need. This is what I need. This is what I have to connect to. This is whom I love. This is whom I appreciate and respect. This is whom I have to be cling to. That is called the group. We have to move on to the third part of the lesson, but let's sing a song first. You even want to sing? Great. So, let's sing a song together then.
Come to the cabal, wants to be a shvia. Tikkun אמון אמיתי יגיע אלינו, בתנאי שאני אחיה עבורנו. אז תן לנו כוח לצאת ממצרים, בלב ובמוח לפנות לשמיים, לפנות השפעה, לפקוח עיניים, לחיות בחברה כמו טיפה בקוס מים. אז תן לנו כוח לצאת ממצרים, בלב ובמוח לפנות לשמיים,
la 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 la